This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Okay, just so you know, before I start, I have permission to say this. It's okay. They've agreed. I'm allowed. But I have two teenage boys, and I am discovering it's a hugely interesting experience. Those of you who have gone before me in this will relate. But I find myself trying to impart as much love, as much wisdom, as much care as I have to them without sounding cringy. I kind of find myself thinking of ways to maybe tell them that they need a shower from time to time without sounding critical. I find myself hoping and longing that they don't mess up and get deeply hurt by things. And when there's times of disconnection, I'm making sure the fridge is crammed full of food, and I'm making sure that I'm available late at night, just so that I'm available to listen when my eyelids are just closing and I'm desperate to go to sleep, just in case they just want to talk. And then you get those moments, those completely delicious moments that come when you feel like you've had the best, the biggest present ever, when connection comes and they sit down and they open up their hearts to you and they listen and they share their dreams and their failures. I just love it. We just love to connect, don't we? It's like in the early throes of young love. I bet some of you have said, or are in it right now. You've come back home from a first date, those of you that can remember that. You talk to your mum or your housemates or your best mate and you go, oh, we just talked for hours and hours. He just gets me. Don't tell me I was the only one who went there. Girls, you know you did that. Or maybe you've chewed the fat with your mates down the pub or over a cuppa. We just love the connection that that brings. Some of you may never have experienced any of this, but you recognize that you long for the connection that I talk about. So when it comes to prayer, you'd think that we'd naturally embrace it, this thing that's going to connect us to God. We love connection, and yet so often it's a struggle. Sometimes, for me, I wonder if that connection's even working. Is he even listening? Sometimes I wonder if I'm hearing him clearly, and it can feel like we're not really getting through to him and he's not getting through to us. Sometimes it can feel like this thing called prayer that's designed to be simple and natural, that maybe we could do it for the rest of our lives and never really feel connected, never really know his presence the way we're designed to. And how do we admit that it's not quite everything that we hoped it would be? Thankfully, there was a man who came to Jesus and admitted that he didn't know what he was doing either. There were lots of people who watched Jesus. Everybody's watching him from afar, but one guy, he watched Jesus and he thought, do you know what? I want a connection with God like this guy has, but I just don't know what to do. Now, interestingly, Jesus doesn't say, you know what? It's really easy. It's really easy. Just be yourself. It'll come naturally. Jesus didn't say, you don't get prayer. That's just basic. If you don't get prayer, how are you going to get anything else? Jesus didn't even say, you can do it anywhere, on the way to work, on your camel. You know, he didn't say any of that. He didn't do any of that. So let's turn to Matthew and see actually what he did say. It's really helpful. If you've got a pew Bible, looks like one of these, it's on page 9 in the New Testament version side of the Bible. So go to the middle and then look for page 9. And we're only going to look at the first few verses, so nobody have a go at me when I stop halfway through. Here we go. Matthew 6, verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Just going to stop there. You can read the rest later. So Jesus said, actually, the first thing you need to know about this thing called prayer is that it matters where you do it. I want you to go and find this quiet place. I want you to go behind closed doors, and I want you to open up the chambers of your heart, and I want you to get simply and honestly before your Father. Part of the challenge is that we sometimes see prayer like those relationships where we say, hi, we must catch up sometime. Oh, there's so much going on. How are the kids? Yeah, are they all right? Yeah, good. Okay, bye. We mean to catch up with God, but it doesn't kind of happen the way we would like. So Jesus teaches us how to pray, and the Message translation, I just think, puts it beautifully. This is what he says. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. Oh, I love that. Don't you love that? You will begin to sense his grace. So Jesus is saying that behind closed doors, as we open up the chambers of our hearts and we get simply and honestly before our God, our focus changes. It changes from us to God. And focus changes prayer because it goes from prayer from performance to complete transparency, where I can be who I am before God, accepted, loved. I find that even when I do that, my posture changes, kind of my shoulders go down, and I can just be. Focus changes prayer from religion and duty and obligation to something far more vulnerable, far more profound, a thing called relationship. Here's a video clip that I think is hilarious. It's about this guy who's focusing on the wrong thing. And I saw this on Graham Norton and thought it was hysterical because this guy has got this GoPro, which is a bit like a video camera, and he's got the trip of a lifetime booked. And so he goes to the States and he goes to San Francisco and he's so excited, and he's got the camera on selfie mode all the way.
Getting dressed in the morning. Maybe we should go around the room again. And this is the morning view out our window facing north. And look at that, for a view of mountains. And it's stunning. And the place is so busy already. Excellent student. Now, what direction the Grand Canyon is, I'm not sure. I think it's that way. That's the view looking down. See? And that's, there's the Trump Tower, same colour as his hair. And now that view is looking north. And that's up into the desert, up into Utah and Arizona, I think. And there's facing west, and that's the setting sun. And there's the Wyndham over there, see that smaller one? And we're going to take it with us later on. So there we are. This is the strip that, I think this is a microphone. Flamingo. There's the flamingo, people.
Do you know what's funny about that is for about 2 seconds, if anybody's seen that clip, he has it on selfie mode, which for the first time he actually sees what he's meant to see for about 2 seconds, and then he goes back. It's bonkers. So we look at that and we laugh and we think, oh no, what if that's like prayer? What if I'm thinking I'm focusing on the right things, but all along my prayers were focused on me, my needs, my thoughts, me, me, me? What if I had everything set up, but my focus is just in the wrong place? What if we're praying all wrong? Not praying for the wrong things, not using the wrong words, because Jesus is saying that our words don't matter. He says, don't think by babbling on and on for hours and hours. That means God's going to hear you. But what if the focus of the prayer was wrong? Jesus says in Matthew 6, when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. But then in verse 8, he says, don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Now, I don't think I'm on my own in this, but I kind of think if God knows what we're going to pray before we ask him, duh, what's the point of praying then? I don't know if Jesus is trying to get us to pray here, because I kind of find that a little bit demotivating. If my Father in heaven already knows what I want before I ask him, then why bother praying at all? And I think it's because Jesus is saying that our starting point is the recognition that prayer at its core is all about connecting with God and depending on God. It's saying, God, this time I'm not going to do this on my own. It's saying, I'm not going to figure out my family on my own. I'm not going to figure out this relationship on my own. I'm not going to figure out my job on my own. I'm going to depend on you. So Jesus says, when you pray, don't start with you. Don't build your relationship with God around you. Build it around him. He said, before you get to the stuff about all the things that you need, just pause. Pause and drink in the presence of the one that you are coming to and coming before. He says, our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven, the focus is him. And he says, as you begin to do that, who he is will begin to change who you are. Jesus knows that when we spend less time on our words in prayer and on our wants in prayer, we can spend most of our time with the one who we're praying to. It's kind of obvious, isn't it? But isn't that hard to hear? Because most of our life we've been taught that our words really matter. You might have been in prayer meetings or prayer gatherings and you've admired somebody using really posh words. Theological words, deep words, even the Greek sometimes. Have you been ever in a prayer meeting like that? I've been in tons. But Jesus says those words, they don't matter. It's the focus, the one who we're coming before, who really matters. He says focus on connecting with God rather than getting from God. Let that be where your focus goes. It begins with a recognition of who he is. Jesus would say, don't start with your weaknesses. Start with who he is. Don't start with your failures. Start with his greatness. Don't start with your hurts. Start with his strength. Don't start with your past. Start with his presence. Recognize that prayer is not all about telling God all the things that are wrong with you. Turn the GoPro round and start by telling him all the things that are right with him. So we've come to our Father in heaven. The next bit, hallowed be your name. That's a weird word, isn't it? Imagine throwing that in the workplace tomorrow. Hallowed. I've never, ever used the word hallowed in my life, apart from in this context. Anybody else? What does it mean? Who uses the word hallowed? Well, this is what it means. Your name is first, God. Your name is holy. Your name is to be honored. Your name is above all other names. Your ways are first. That's what hallowed means. It's all about God. So why does Jesus to do this? Why does he tell us to hallow God's name? What's so special about God's name? Well, names in Jesus' time carried far more significance than they do today. Because what you were called revealed what your character was like. To know God's name is to kind of enjoy a privileged access to him. He's letting us know what he's like. So as we pray and declare his name, we begin to understand and we kind of get to know his character. So how do we actually do what Jesus says? How do we hallow or declare God's name when we pray? Well, we can do it in all sorts of ways. We can look in the Bible and discover all the different names for God. There's loads of them. And then you can pray using them. So you can look at the I Ams, for example, in Genesis. The first I Am statement in the Bible is in Genesis 15, right at the beginning of the Bible, where God appears to Abram, as he was called then, and he says, "Don't be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and am your very great reward." So you could find your quiet space at home or wherever you are, somewhere where you can connect to God, and you can say to him, "God, you are my shield. You protect me when it feels like the arrows are being thrown my way. You're a shield when all I can see around me is chaos. You're a shield for those harsh words that I keep getting." You might pick up the second part of the verse. "God, you are the great reward, the prize. When I see people trying to dominate one another and get ahead, you are the one who is worth living for. You're the goal. You're the great pursuit. You're the journey." Or the name that I find myself using quite a lot at the moment is Jehovah Jireh. It's one of the Hebrew names for God. The Israelites used it, and again, in the book of Genesis, chapter 22. We read how God provided a ram for Abraham to kill instead of his son Isaac. You might be familiar with that story. But Abraham called the place where that happened, "The Lord will provide." And so God is called Jehovah Jireh. So you can pray, "God, you are the one who provides. Thank you for all your blessings, for food, for hope, for forgiveness, for purpose, for home, for strength when I'm feeling weak, for laughter. Thank you that you know what I need before I even ask. I trust you to provide at the right time and in the right way." It doesn't surprise me that Jesus teaches us to pray in this way, because he wants us to know the character of God through the names, because prayer is a two-way thing. We get to know all about God in this way. We get to know who we're praying to. He's our shield. He's our reward. He's our provider. He wants us to know that whatever our circumstances are, even when things aren't going our way, God's character doesn't change. Just because we don't get what we want, does that mean he's not Jehovah Jireh? He doesn't provide anymore? No, of course not. His character does not change. His name does not change. But when things are going right, when we want to sing from the rooftops that something's going well, I'm learning that he loves to hear that too. It's all about that connection. He loves to hear what makes us happy. Something wonderful happened to me the other day, and I knew God had instigated it. I knew he'd made it happen. And the weirdest, funniest thing was I couldn't wait to tell him about it, which seems a bit odd, really, because he instigated it. He knew all about it, but I was just busting to tell him. And so I was driving along, and I pulled into a car park with trees, and I was just, "Thank you, God. I have to tell you about this thing that happened. Thank you. Thank you that what you did just made my heart sing. Thank you for providing. And it sounds a bit daft because he made it happen. He knows already. But I think it's just, I really sensed his connection, the whole thing that he loved me telling him what made me happy. And he loves that with you too. It's not just when we need something, when we just go, oh, God, help me with this. That connection comes when we're happy, when we're joyful, and we can just say, thanks. Thanks for doing that. He loves it. He loves sharing our joy as well as our pain. So to conclude, let's find a quiet place where we can meet with God and open up the chambers of our hearts. We think the place we pray doesn't matter. Jesus says it does. Jesus says where we pray is a signal of our intention of creating space. Secondly, let's turn that GoPro around and focus on him. Jesus says in verse 9, this is how you should pray, our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. Because when we focus on God, acceptance comes, love comes, and we can just be who we are before God. Loved, wanted, accepted. And focus changes prayer from religion and duty and obligation to something far more vulnerable, far more profound, to connection and relationship. And lastly, hallowed be your name. Let's just declare his name as great in the coming weeks. Maybe, I don't know, in your small groups or on your own, maybe look at some of the names of the Bible and names of God in the Bible and see what that reveals about his character. Jesus says, declare them as you pray. Usher in the truth of who he is into your life. And my hope for you as you leave today and you go about your week, doing whatever it is that you're doing, that you begin to understand prayer as connection with God, connection with the Father who loves you. That it wouldn't be, I got this from God, I prayed this, and I got this. Prayer works. Yes, it's partly that, but it also has to be, I went there, he met with me, he's alive. I went there, he met with me, he's alive. Not I prayed that, I got this, it works. I went there, he met with me, and he's alive. And just as me pursuing my relationship with my boys, God is calling us into connection with him. Let's abandon performance and embrace the reality, honesty, joy, vulnerability, and deepen the connection that Jesus wants for us with our Heavenly Father. Should we stand? We've got a few more minutes before we collect the kids. We're just going to see what God wants to do. We believe that he's alive today. He speaks to us. He wants us to connect with him whenever and wherever. So we're just going to invite him to come. Ben, do you want to come? And we'll see what he wants to do. So Holy Spirit, we thank you that you've been here this morning. We just invite you to come, whatever you want to do. Come, Holy Spirit. So sometimes God gives us pictures in our mind, and that's his way of connecting with us, of communicating with us. And when we were praying last night, Joseph, my youngest, had a picture of a carabiner, I think it's called, that you put, what you have when you're climbing. It's kind of this clip thing that you put into your harness. I think that's what it does. And he said that on the carabiner, there was light traveling around it. And as we prayed together and we asked God what he was saying, Joseph felt like God was saying that there was somebody here this morning who needs to know that God is bringing real safety and strength, and that he won't let you down and he won't let you fall. He won't let you down and he won't let you fall. If that's for you, we'd love to pray for you. And I think there's some people here who have never really thought about what the character of God is like at all. They've never really seen that prayer is a two-way thing, and actually God might want to reveal some of himself to you. What makes him smile? What grieves him? What he longs for? What brings him joy? So if that's you, we'd love to pray for you. I invite you to just turn that GoPro around and maybe invite Jesus to reveal the Father to you. Ask him to come and just show himself to you.
Yeah, I got a sense of, sorry about the deep voice, it's not God. It's just a sore throat. I felt a couple of things where people were your reaction to what Kate was saying and what was taught from the Bible starts with a real negative. And I get a sense that God just wants to set you free from that, even though you don't believe you can be set free from it. The truth is he can. And the two negatives, I get a sense that when you were hearing this, you didn't really get much further than this. One was go to your room, and that just puts too many negative things in your mind from childhood or even now. So you think, why would I want to go there? Because, you know, it's a difficult place for you. But God wants to set you free from that difficulty and set you free into life and life in its fullness. And the other one is when you just say the words, "Our Father," we all know, despite how much we try, our dads and ourselves, we're not the perfect fathers, but God is, and he is different. And it's like the GoPro thing, you need to reset it. So this, I get a sense that this people may not even got even past one of those two things or even both, but just God really wants to set you free from that. And so you can actually discover the beauty of God and the hallowed be his name and what that means. And don't be afraid of that. Just go for it.
Ben, do you want to come up? We're just going to, can we play a little bit of something? It's time to collect the kids. If those mean anything to you, we'd love to pray for you, which doesn't mean we'll give you advice or tell you what to do. We'll just usher in the presence of God and bless what he's doing in your life. So we'd love to pray for you. Just come forward or pick up your kids. But that's about as formal an ending as we're going to get. But yeah, we'd love to pray for you. Thanks for coming today.